Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going
to
get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
People, welcome to this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It is March 26th, 2021, and the weekend is near. That's right. Some of you may have already begun your weekend by now, and some of you may have, what, just like 4 hours until the weekend begins if you're working that standard 9-to-5. No matter what, hey, it's Friday. I'm feeling good. I hope you guys are. It's a bit of a chilly one here in mid-Michigan. Cloudy skies, a bit rainy, stay dry. But, yeah, the temps are going up. You know, it's a bit of a roller coaster around this time of the year because spring hasn't fully sprung, but we are getting more and more warmer days as the days go by. All right? So, well, today's Current Sports, we're going to talk Michigan State Football Pro Day. Yes, you will hear from four players who are hoping to make it solidified in the National Football League, which is so tough to do. And one of those players happens to be a quarterback who is already, you know, about a year removed now from the Michigan State Football program. He is still looking for a solid spot in the National Football League, so he was actually in the house yesterday in East Lansing auditioning for multiple NFL teams. So I'm going to give you the list of players who you'll be hearing from in just a moment, and I'll give you, of course, that name of that specific player in just a moment as well. But just want to talk about Pro Day real quick because, you know, it's always interesting how this thing kind of plays out. Because, you know, it's just so difficult to make the National Football League. It really is, folks. Even if you play for a Division I program, which gives you a great opportunity to try and make the National Football League, in comparison to if you went to like a D2 or D3 football school. But, you know, it's like, people think that, okay, if you automatically go to a program like Michigan State, okay, yeah, you should make the league, right? You know, if you are a starter, if you got a lot of playing time throughout your college career, then good chance that you should make the National Football League. And if you didn't, you're just really, really bad. And look, that's just not the case. You know, I want to just, you know, for those, because there are many that have that outlook, you are completely wrong. Just to put in perspective just how hard it is to make it to the National Football League, and heck, just to even play Division I college sports, check this out. And this is coming from Pro Sports Odds, who put together these numbers. High school senior players who go on to play NCAA men's football is about 1 in 17, or about 5.8% of all high school senior players here in America. So only, you know, we can round it up to 6%. 6%. We'll say, you know, at 5.8, let's go 6%. Only 6% of high school seniors actually go on to play NCAA men's football. And that's just across the board, whether we're talking D1, D2, D3. All right? NCAA senior players drafted by an NFL team. That's about 1 in 50, folks, or 2%. 1 in 50 or 2%. That's like, you know, one every college football team, something like that, right? Well, a college football roster, I mean, I'm thinking like the NFL, right, where you have a 53-man roster. A college football roster is much more than that. You know, so I'll round it up and say, like, well, that's like two per college football team, right? I mean, that's and we're talking primarily Division I players here that go in the NFL draft. So, I mean, that's wild. You know, the odds are certainly stacked against you. And that's, again, even if, you know, you are a starter who got a lot of minutes, got a lot of playing time, it is so tough to try and get drafted by an NFL team. High school senior players eventually drafted by an NFL team, that's about 9 in 10,000, folks. I'll say that again. High school players eventually drafted by an NFL team, about 9 in 10,000 or 0.09%. That's about the chance you have an IQ above 150 as measured by the Stanford Binet test. 0.09%, folks. That's the chance that your son, who is playing high school football right now as a senior, that's the chance he has to make it to the NFL. 0.09%. Wow. It's mind-boggling. And, you know, looking at other sports, too. I mean, you know, men's basketball. High school senior players who go on to play NCAA men's basketball, that's less than 1 in 35 or 2.9%. NCAA senior players drafted by an NBA team, less than 1 in 75 or 1.3%. High school senior players eventually drafted by an NFL team, that's about 3 in 10,000 or 0.03%. So the odds of going to the NBA are even worse. That's roughly the chance. 0.03% is roughly the chance of getting four of a kind in the first round of draw poker, for those who play poker. Yeah, that's the chance of getting a four of a kind in the first round when playing poker. Come on, man. It's insane. Trying to make it to the NBA or the NFL. If you are a high school senior player, 0.02 and a 0.09% chance that you will do that. Incredible, man. You know, and for kicks, I'll bring up, let's go women's basketball. High school senior players who go on to play NCAA women's basketball is about 3 in 100 or 3.1%. NCAA senior players drafted by a WNBA team is about 1 in 100 or 1%. And high school senior players eventually drafted by a WNBA team is about 1 in 5,000 or 0.02%. That's less than men's basketball and football. 0.02%. That's the chance that a killer asteroid will destroy civilization in the next century, according to Princeton astronomers. A 0.02% chance. For baseball, high school senior players who go on to play NCAA men's baseball is less than 3 in 50 or 5.6%. NCAA senior players drafted by a Major League Baseball team is less than 11 in 100 or 10.5%. And high school senior players eventually drafted by an MLB team is about 1 in 200 which is better than the other sports I mentioned, right? Better than, you know, women's basketball, better than men's basketball, better than football, 0.5%. Drafted baseball players almost always go to a minor league team. You know, these teams abound. They are over, there are over 150 of them compared to 30 in the majors. The big leagues have 750 players, yet the 04 draft alone took 1,500. So the chance, you know, hence, you know, some estimate that only 1 in 33 minor leaguers ever make it to the pros. So put that in perspective. If that's correct, the chance of a high school player making the big leagues is actually, when you look at those numbers, when you talk about the big leagues, not minor leagues, 1 in 6,600 or 0.015%. So not talking about the minors, talking about the majors. A high school player making the big leagues is 1 in 6,600 or 0.015%. That's actually worse than the other sports I mentioned. That's the chance of a thief guessing your PIN number on the first try. That's incredible, man. Yeah, this study done by again Pro Sports Odds is pretty wild, pretty wild. Which is why you always have to have that plan B as an athlete, no matter what division you are, and why it's so tough, man. So you know when I hear people, and I've had numerous discussions about, you know, Brian Lewerke and why he's not in the NFL, and people want to bash him for how he underachieved, especially during that final season as Michigan State's quarterback. Yeah, you got a lot to say. But when you read those numbers, it really puts in perspective just how tough it is, folks. So with that being said, pro day, folks. Oh, man. And, you know, Brian Lewerke is one of those guys. You know, they surprised. There we go. You know, those players I mentioned that I was going to tell you who you'll be hearing from today. Brian Lewerke, quarterback, former quarterback of the Michigan State football team, is one of those guys who was in town this week auditioning for NFL teams trying to get an NFL job. And the players you'll hear from will be, in addition to quarterback Brian Lewerke, defensive tackle Naquan Jones, linebacker Antoine Simmons, cornerback Shakur Brown. So you'll be hearing from Jones, Simmons, Brown, and Lewerke in just a moment. But just a quick rundown of Pro Day. You know, Brian Lewerke, you know, seeing him, you know, these photos of him work out for the NFL scouts, you know, it's just a little bit weird. And the reason why also that makes it even tougher for Brian Lewerke to try and land a solidified job was because of the pandemic as well. You know, he didn't have a chance to have a pro day due to the pandemic. That opportunity was canceled after his senior campaign because of the coronavirus. So, you know, Lewerke, and again, you'll get to hear from him in just a moment, but he went on to say, quote, "It was good to meet everybody that I've seen on TV and on Twitter and Instagram the past year and not been able to meet." And he went on to say that, quote, "It was great for them to bring us back. I'm definitely thankful for the opportunity." So Lewerke, he went undrafted last April, and then he was cut twice by the New England Patriots, the second and final time in September. So, again, he is looking for an NFL job. Now, six of Lewerke's 2019 teammates also joined him working out as free agents in front of 35 representatives from 32 NFL teams. That's how many people were in the house here in East Lansing evaluating players this week. Again, 35 reps from 32 NFL teams. So it was quite the opportunity. These pro days are very important, and it's a chance, you know, away from the NFL combine for you to really have more of an intimate conversation and for these coaches, scouts, and other personnel to really have a more personal look at these respective players. But six of Lewerke's 2019 teammates included corner Josh Butler, safety David Dow, offensive lineman Tyler Higbee, tight end Matt Seibert, linebacker Tyreek Thompson, and also long snapper Ryan Armour. So, again, though, most scouts' eyes were focused on the Spartans' three draft-eligible players, though. The new guys who are trying to make their NFL dreams come true, those being corner Shakur Brown, defensive tackle Naquan Jones, and linebacker Antoine Simmons, who finished their seven-game COVID-19 short and final season this past December. So, and you take all of these measurements, right? Now, I will say this. When it comes to the NFL Combine, in addition to Pro Day, I think that it is totally overrated. Sure, it's nice to have a workout, and it's nice to have these one-on-one personal conversations with these players, and it helps in making that draft decision, certainly. But I think it's a bit overblown. I don't know how much you can tell about a player when just looking at him throw a few footballs or run the 40-yard dash. How can you make more? How can you place more of an emphasis on those individual workouts than you do watching a college game and seeing them under pressure with the helmet and pads on? I just don't understand it. I never will. It's totally overrated, and that is why, for the most part, you see guys drafted in the NFL, you know, and I'm talking high draft picks, folks. I'm talking first, second-round draft picks, and those first and second-round draft picks, for the most part, end up not performing or living up to the expectations that many had for them. Yeah, you place so much emphasis on the combine, but let's be real here. Those who are taken, you know, at the very top of the NFL draft, I mean, they're being evaluated not just on the combine or those individual workouts, but also what they did in college. But there is a heavy emphasis on what happens during the combine and those pro day workouts. It just is. And I just think it's totally overrated. So it's interesting, though. These players, they get measured for official heights, weights. They are timed on their running sprints. They took broad and vertical jumps, performed reps on the bench press, and did positional drills with scouts watching every single move. Now, can you gauge a little bit from that? Certainly. You can gauge, you know, how strong a dude is. You can gauge how fast a guy is. The athleticism, the overall athleticism of a player. You can gauge all of that. But it's different, man, when you put on the helmet, pads, and cleats out there on the football field and you're running for your life trying to not get your head taken off. That's when you should be judged the most. It's just silly for me. But, hey, you know, we'll see what happens, man. We'll certainly see what happens. Scott Aligo, MSU's Director of Player Personnel, he was actually hired shortly before last year's Pro Day, was canceled, and that Pro Day was canceled on March 18th of 2020, just as the players who remained on the team were sent home with the rest of the student body. So that really made this past Wednesday very, very special. And for those who missed out last year, this was a great opportunity for them, you know, and also not having an in-person NFL Combine experience. This was a very, very big day. So, and it's very vital for them. You know, Scott went on to say, quote, "It's vital for them, and we take that seriously. So that's why today we wanted to make it their day and really kind of bring those guys back and try and make it as combine-like as possible without having them to be at the combine. So everything that we structured today was to make that feel like they were in Indianapolis. So, yeah, it's very important. And we took a lot of pride in really showing off Michigan State and being able to show them what our players can do." So that's awesome stuff. Yeah, you want to make sure that those dudes, you know, because the playing field wasn't even for them. You know, in a pandemic year where you don't have an NFL combine, and again, like I said, there's so much weight placed on the NFL combine, in a year in which that was stripped from you, it's very cool that Michigan State, one, invited them back to have a pro day, and two, set it up as close to NFL combine conditions as possible to, you know, set everything up to showcase what could have been for some of these players out in Indianapolis. So we'll see what happens, man. We will see what happens. You know, Josiah Scott, fourth round, Jacksonville, and Kenny Willekes, seventh round, Minnesota. Last April, those two players extended the Spartans' NFL draft streak to 80 straight years, which is remarkable in itself. 80 straight years. Just think about that. When you go and play for Michigan State University, there is a chance that you may pick because they have had 80 straight years in which they have had a draft pick in the NFL draft. That is incredible. That's actually the third longest in football bowl subdivision history. MSU is also one of just four schools, in addition to Florida, Southern California, and yes, that team down the road, the Michigan Wolverines, to have at least one player picked in each draft since the NFL-AFL merger all the way back in 1967. So that's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing stuff. So there is that chance that you may be that player who continues to keep the streak alive and is drafted by certain said NFL team. So Lewerke, and others, they latched on with teams a year ago despite not having a chance to work out in person for teams after the NFL Combine. And who knows how much of a difference would that have made if Brian Lewerke and those other players would have had the chance to have an NFL Combine, to have a pro day. I don't know. Who knows? You know, and two of them, in linebacker Joe Bocci and defensive tackle Raekwon Williams, they did make active rosters. Williams with the Eagles and Bocci as well. So, yeah, man. You know, Brian Lewerke gets a shot here. I'm sure that he has kept himself in shape. And I'm sure he learned something, you know, being with the New England Patriots organization, you know, maybe for a cup of coffee. But still, I mean, when you're in the presence of that kind of greatness in Bill Belichick, you know, and Cam Newton being there, I mean, I'm pretty sure that Brian Lewerke learned a lot. So we'll see what happens. But what I'm going to do right now is hit our first break. And when we come back, you'll hear from Lewerke, Naquan Jones, Antoine Simmons, and Shakur Brown on, you know, the experience of having a pro day and possibly going to the NFL and making those NFL dreams come true. We'll be right back. You are listening to the Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and right now we are you know, centering today's show on Pro Day for the Michigan State football team, which occurred this week. And what I want to do right now is actually roll in a few interviews from a few players who auditioned in front of 35 reps from 32 different teams in the NFL, which is pretty, and that's a big opportunity. You know, that's a very big opportunity. You know, every team in the NFL represented it by 35 reps. Let's start with Brian Lewerke, and then you'll hear from Naquan Jones, Antoine Simmons, and Shakur Brown. Here's what they had to say about their respective MSU pro day auditions.
You know, after I was cut by the Pats back in September, I had a few tryouts with some teams, and just kind of been throwing with my coach down in Arizona, making sure I'm working out, staying in shape for whenever I need a call, or whenever a team calls me. Like I was down in Florida one time, and I got a call from my agent that the Colts wanted to come try me out, so I had to go fly out from there. So you just kind of got to be ready at all times.
How did this all come about? Can you kind of let us know, like, when did Coach talk about it? Yeah, when did Coach Tucker and everybody reach out, say, do you want to come back and do this?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of popped in my head that they would probably invite us back, you know, back in January. And we got a text from Scott about, you know, a month and a half ago, just asking that if anyone wanted to come back that didn't get to do their pro day last year, they can come do it. So I definitely hopped on that as soon as I could.
Next question is from Matheus Ornelas from Time Out Brazil.
Brian, Matheus from Time Out Brazil. Congratulations for not having your pro day now. Like, even it's late, but it's a great chance for you guys for like show for the NFL a little more. How you have like a full career in Michigan State in the college level, and you have all the 2020 problems of the COVID. And how do you think that the COVID was a big problem for you guys? What do you learn with all that happened last year? And how do you think that's your real chances for the NFL this year?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely didn't help anything at all, having preseason canceled. And, you know, for guys like me that go undrafted, preseason is really big for us just to be able to try and show what we can do in game situations. So not having that was, you know, definitely sucked. And then just having the whole protocol for teams having to, you know, keep you for a week before you can do a tryout, make sure you got a quarantine for a tryout. It made it a little less attractive for teams to bring guys in for tryouts. But, you know, you got to be ready at all times, like I said, and just, you know, have a positive attitude about it whenever you can.
Thank you. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Our next question is from Steven Brooks with 24/7 Sports.
Hey, Brian. Hope you're doing well, man.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you. I wanted to, you know, you sort of just touched on it. Just, when, you know, when you look back, how frustrating was last year? Like, you'd spend so much of your life building up to try to go to the NFL. Your time comes, and then so much was out of your control. Like, you talk about pro day, smaller rosters, preseason. And it's like just, it was no fault of your own. Just the timing of the world sort of, you know, screwed up your natural shot with how you were coming along. I mean, how'd you sort of come to grips with that, I guess? You know, like just the frustration, but also knowing like you had no real control of it, like I said.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to get – I mean, I obviously was upset and frustrated about it, but at a point there's nothing you can do about it. So there's really no point in getting mad because it's just going to, you know, eat at you. So you just got to move on a little bit, and that's kind of what I did. You know, I had my shot with the team and didn't get all the opportunities that I wanted with that team, but – I'm trying to, you know, hopefully make an impression on someone. Hopefully I did today, and they can bring me in.
And like you said, with that experience you got last year, just what'd you learn from that you think will help you this second time around?
Just being, you know, knowing what NFL teams expect and being in the building with them and seeing how much of a business it is. You got to be on your toes at all time and make sure you're prepared for everything that, you know, a coach can throw at you. And I think I definitely learned that a bunch, you know, being with them for the time that I was.
And then one more, if I could, really quick, just from your agent and teams, what has sort of been the dialogue throughout, you know, these past couple of weeks, or really the last year? Was, were you getting sort of feedback of like, hey man, stay in this and you might get a real shot next year? Or was it kind of like, it's up to you and we'll see? And I mean, what was sort of that feedback from the NFL or your agent or whoever?
Yeah. You know, I had three tryouts in the span of, you know, 5 months or whatever it was after I was released by the Patriots. So, you know, just being, you know, my agent was telling me to keep up with stuff. Like I said, it can happen at any time. A team can call. So I just had to be ready for whatever, you know, whenever a team called me up.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yep. Yeah, no problem.
Our next question is from Matt Wenzel with M Live.
Hey, Brian, I was wondering before today, or when did you get back in town? To East Lansing or Lansing?
Monday afternoon.
When was the last time you'd been here before Monday?
About almost exactly a year ago. Okay. I flew up to Michigan, and then like 2 days later last year, they canceled it because of COVID. So,
how weird is it being back in the building today with all that's changed in a year? You know, with, I know, you know, Mark leaves, you got a new staff, you don't get a pro day, and you've been through the NFL experience a little bit, and now you're kind of, you know, trying to get that second shot and doing it, you know, later.
Yeah, I mean, it was good to meet everyone that I've seen on TV and Twitter and Instagram for the past year and not been able to meet. Definitely would have been up for a game if this was a real year last year and would have met everyone. But it was great for them to bring us back. It was great for, you know, to meet all the coaches staff. I talked with Coach Tucker and the offensive coordinator a little bit. So it was great to, you know, meet them. And I'm definitely thankful for that opportunity.
And you touched a little bit on what you learned in the NFL in your experience. Is there anything you're looking to show today that, you know, is, you know, just a little bit different from last year?
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, I ran a horrible 40-yard dash at the combine last year. So I wanted to show that I still got the speed. And I think I did that pretty well. And you just show off my arm strength. I think my arm has definitely gotten stronger. And I'm able to throw the ball downfield a little better than what I could do in college.
I pretty much heard the same, you know, similar consensus from teams, like, you know, just get your weight down, you know, get your conditioning up and, you know, just stay as consistent as you can. And I was able to reach my goal weight. I look pretty good today. I think so, you know, going through the position drills and, you know, going through the drills and, you know, obviously, you know, those times and, you know, the feedback will reflect, but from teams, I've been hearing that, you know, I have the potential and I have the, you know, the play level to compete at the next level. So I just continue to do what I, you know, need to do.
Is it for you as a guy who would have come back for a sixth year? I mean, was there ever any thought of entertaining that, or was this, did you kind of know going into this year that, yeah, this will be my last?
I mean, yeah, it was a tough decision to make, but, again, I handled some things in college that, you know, I felt like I was ready to take that step. I got my degree. I've been here for 5 years now, and, you know, I felt like it was time for me to make that step, and I think I made the best decision.
Next question about Matt Charbonneau at Detroit News.
Hey, Quan, you had some teammates like Raekwon and Mike, right, that you played a lot with that just went through all this a year ago, and Did you lean on those guys or talk to those guys about what this experience was going to be like and kind of preparing yourself for it?
Yeah, absolutely. We, you know, we speak a lot all the time. Actually, we're in a group chat, but I leaned on Kenny very heavily, Kenny Willekes, and he just told me to stay the process. You know, even if you don't run the best time or bench, you know, just it's basically your ability, and you do what you can do. You know, just leave here with no regrets, and that's exactly what I did today. I did exactly, you know, I did all I could do today. And, you know, I feel glad that I was able to come here and compete.
I assume then that you'll continue to talk to those guys about the next steps from here and, you know, dealing with the draft and all that stuff too, as well, I'd imagine, right?
Oh yeah, of course. Those are some of my best friends, you know, even off the field. So we're going to, you know, they're going to be in my corner forever. You know, those are like my brothers. So we're going to have that relationship forever.
If I'll be able to get him on or not. I know he talked yesterday for a little bit, but I will get Scott Aligo, our director of player personnel, on at the end. I think I can make that work. He organized Pro Day. I know Darian Harris was talking about him a couple weeks ago, but he'll be a good person to talk to about the behind the scenes aspect of Pro Day. So next up, we have linebacker Antoine Simmons. Antoine, if you want to unmute the computer and we'll get started here.
All right,
there we go. All right, well, Antoine, it's great to see you. I know that you've been working hard for Pro Day, and we'll have some questions for you here in a little bit as we get going.
Okay, all right.
Looks like we'll start with Matt Wenzel with MLive.
Antoine, I was wondering what you have been working on the most. You know, obviously Pro Day is a kind of a unique situation, but what have you been looking to show, and how do you think you performed today?
Pretty much just working on everything, really. It wasn't one thing where we just where we had focused on, but you know, we wanted to make sure, you know, everything was as good as it possibly could be when the day came. And you know, I felt good. You know, I definitely felt like you know, I put everything out there. I went as hard as I possibly can, so you know, I can definitely live with the results.
What have you been hearing from teams as far as, you know, what they like in you and what they want to see you improve at or show something?
Really just like my game film, the way that I play, you know, how hard I'm going, where I go sideline to sideline, tackling, you know, just all those things, really. Really, like, probably my favorite, you know, my biggest thing to work on was really just block shedding, getting rid of guys, and being able to come off and make more plays.
Thanks, Antoine. Congrats and good luck.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Our next question will go to Lindsey Huddleston.
Antoine, congrats on your pro day. The past season, watching you, particularly after the games, after your great play, passion has been a word to describe you. Did you tap into that same passion today for pro day, or was there a different emotion or a different feeling, if you follow what I'm going on?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. You know, I try to be a whole nother dude whenever I'm in that atmosphere, whenever I got to step on the field or do anything within football. You know, I take the glasses off, put my contacts on, and it's time to go from that point on.
One question I've been posing to your teammates as well is, going back to high school days, even Pop, what advice would you give yourself for another athlete that has the same dreams and ambitions that you have right now?
Just keep working hard. You know, don't get too high. Don't get too low on yourself, and just stay at it. You know, you're going to have ups and downs. You got points where you feel like you're at rock bottom. But if you can stay in the fight, you'll come out on top.
Sound like some good advice for life, too. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Chris Solari.
Hey, Antoine. Good to see you again. Wondered, just how much have you been hearing about what that transition to the 4-2-5 maybe did in terms of helping your profile, getting and also getting to play in multiple systems? I mean, does that help a guy at this point when teams are looking and talking to you to have a knowledge base on a bunch of different schemes?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I definitely feel like playing in a new system this past year was tremendous for a guy like myself. You know, first 3 years I played outside the box in that hybrid position, you know, being over the number two, number three wide receivers. Being out in space a lot, but you know, then this past year playing in the box like 95% of the time, being able to shock guys, run inside on the ball, you know, it really just showed that I was more than capable of playing inside the box. Now, I feel like I wasn't able to show that in previous years, but definitely felt like I was able to do that and show my instincts. You can see more of my instincts, my football IQ and stuff. You can see how quick I was. Everything like that.
And for you, how was it seeing some of those guys that you haven't seen in a year? I mean, Lewerke said he hadn't been back in a year. I'd imagine guys like Josh and some Tyreek hadn't been back in quite some time. I mean, what was that like?
It was awesome, you know, just being back with the guys, seeing them catching up. And just talking about how everything's been going with each other. It was awesome. You know, it was awesome being able to see everybody, my former teammates, coaches, just everything. You know, definitely felt the love, felt there's a lot of support out there. And, I'm just excited. I was happy with everything.
Show what type of player I am, show what type of work ethic I have and intensity I bring, my persona.
Thank you. Good luck.
We'll go back to the chat now, and it looks like we're up to Matt Wenzel with M Live. Matt.
Hey, Shakur, your first 2 years here, you had Justin Lane leave early as a pro. You had Josiah go. You know, you saw guys that pretty much came in a similar situation, do the same thing. How much did you learn from them in kind of taking the same step?
You know, them guys kind of paved the way for me, Especially Josiah is my old roommate, so we used to talk a lot. He helped me with the plays, and Justin was like my big brother when I came on campus. So he helped me a lot through the path, too.
And did you get feedback from the advisory committee before declaring? And if so, I was wondering just if you could share what kind of their view of you was.
Honestly, I didn't even get it back, so I didn't get it back.
Is there anything in particular you were looking to show today for the scouts?
Just my work ethic, what I bring to the table.
Thanks, appreciate it.
Our next question about Matt Charbonneau, the Detroit News.
Hey, Shakur, obviously, we saw how you performed on the field, especially last year. when you've played that well and you've shown out on film, do you actually get a little bit nervous in these sort of pro day settings where, you know, it's a little bit different, where it's just times and stopwatches and all that? Is it different, or how much different is it?
No, I'm to the point where pressure is all in your mind, you know, so.
Did you train specifically for the, I know there's no combine, but a lot of the same sort of drills. Did you do specific training for this as opposed to just what you would normally do?
No, it was the same process.
All right. Thanks, man.
Our next question will go to Chris Solar, the Detroit Free Press.
Shaq, kind of wondered if you could walk us through the decision process. When did you kind of decide, okay, this is my path, I'm going to leave the eligibility on the table, and what have you done since? Did you go elsewhere? Where did you go to train, and who have you been working with?
Well, I wasn't thinking about leaving until the second from last game of the season, because, you know, I was just focused on the season. And when it came to the point, you know, I made the decision, talked it over with my dad and coaches. And then after that, I went to Exos in Pensacola, Florida. Then I went to Bomberitos in Miami.
With making that decision, I guess what went into it in your mind? Because obviously you have a year left, or maybe two, that with the COVID situation. You know, what made this the time for you?
I felt like I was physically, mentally, and emotionally ready.
Our next question will go to Alan Sanders.
Yeah, just talking about your relationship with Justin Lane, I wondered if you've talked to the Steelers at all in this process.
Yes, I have.
What was that like? And in general, what have you been hearing from the NFL teams that you've talked to?
I mean, it was a good conversation. I mean, I've talked to pretty much everybody, and it's all good things.
Anything specific that you feel like you wanted to show today, or you wanted to accomplish today?
I went out there and gave it all I got, put my best foot forward.
All right, again, that was Brian Lewerke, former quarterback of the Michigan State football team, defensive tackle Naquan Jones, linebacker Antoine Simmons, and cornerback Shakur Brown, all speaking to the media for Michigan State Pro Day. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, I will give you my picks for this weekend's NCAA men's basketball tournament Sweet 16 action, as this tournament has been one of the most unpredictable tournaments of all time. I'll give you my picks and we'll send you home on that. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, folks, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. To wrap up this Friday edition of the show, I want to make some NCAA men's basketball tournament sweetness of 16 picks. It's going to be a very, very big weekend. And this tournament has just been so unpredictable. I mean, it's of historic proportions. I mean, looking at the seeds that have made this tournament, we haven't seen anything like this in a long, long time. I don't have the statistics in front of me. I'm going to have to bring that to you on Monday. I forgot to bring them up today. But there are some wild statistics about how many low seed teams are in the Sweet 16 this season that is just mind-boggling. We haven't seen this in a long, long time, folks. And are we really surprised, though? Because, hey, we're talking about, you know, the coronavirus pandemic, the first NCAA tournament in the midst of a pandemic that we've seen. So everything is unpredictable, right? You know, things have been shaken up, the sports world has been shaken up due to this. So why is it surprising? But here are my picks to send you guys on home on this week's Current Sports. Take it with a big truckload of salt, please. But Oregon State and Loyola Chicago, number 12 Oregon State versus number 8 Loyola Chicago. I'm going with Loyola Chicago to pull that one out in a very, very close game. That's a matchup between two Cinderella schools. each expected to fall before reaching this round. Oregon State trying to combat Loyola's big man, Cameron Crutwig, who has been amazing. And they have Oregon State has Roman Silva, who is a really solid big man down low. But I'm thinking that Loyola Chicago pours this thing out and Drew Valentine continues to stun everybody, folks. Villanova and Baylor, number 5 Villanova versus number 1 Baylor. You guys know how I feel about this tournament. I think that it's Gonzaga, Baylor, and then everybody else. I think Baylor wins this game as the number 1 seed. They are reminding everyone just how good they are. Number 15 Oral Roberts versus number 3 Arkansas. Yeah, number 15 Oral Roberts been one of the biggest surprises, if not the biggest surprise of this tournament. A 15 seed is in the Sweet 16. Insane. But I think the buck stops here. The celebration, the party ends, the music it cuts off, and the DJ says, "All right, Oral Roberts, you got to go home." Oral Roberts trying to reach the Elite Eight. They will become the second 15 seed ever. They have become, I should say, the second sweet 16, 15 seed ever to do so. Only two teams have done that as a 15 seed. But Arkansas, I just think they have too much firepower, and they have gotten better as the season has progressed. And they are one of the elite scoring teams nationally. So I think the cream rises to the top here, and Arkansas finds a way to win. All right, number 11, Syracuse versus number 2, Houston. I'm going chalk here so far. Houston wins this thing against Jim Boeheim's pesky zone defense. I think Houston is the best offensive rebounding team in the nation, and I think that's going to prove to be the difference. So Syracuse has to play big on defense, and I don't think they do that in this game. I think Houston wins that game. Michigan and Florida State, upset alert. I'm still not a big believer in the Wolverines. I think it's great that they made it to the Sweet 16. I would be choosing otherwise if they had Isaiah Livers, but I've always said, and a lot of people have said this, I'm not breaking news and saying this, but eventually the absence of Isaiah Livers is going to play a major component in a Michigan loss in this tournament. And I think it happens here. They were rocky against LSU. They had such a rocky start against them. And thank goodness for a heroic effort by Sean D. Brown off of the bench for the Wolverines on both sides of the basketball that led to that Wolverines dub. But I think it really, I don't know how you can duplicate that kind of a performance. I don't think they can. And I think Florida State beats Michigan, and the absence of Isaiah Livers proves to be glaring, a glaring one. So I think Florida State pulls that one out in a very close game. Number 5, Creighton versus number 1, Gonzaga. Gonzaga by double digits in that one. Again, I think it's Gonzaga, Baylor, and everybody else. Number 7, Oregon versus number 6, USC. I think that USC pulls this one out. I really, really like the Mobley brothers. They are so fun to watch. So fun to watch. And I just don't think Oregon has enough to slow them down. That will prove to be the big difference in that game as USC wins that one. And then Alabama and UCLA. Alabama number 2, UCLA number 11. Alabama wins that one. So the only upset I have is Michigan. I don't know, maybe that maybe some, you know, that green and white blood flowing through my veins is helping me in making that pick. But that's what I'm going with, man, for the sweetness of 16. But good luck in your pools if you're in a pool where you get to pick every single round. And, you know, hey, if your bracket is still intact and you're still competing for that top spot in your respective bracket pool, good luck to you as well. But I want you guys to be safe, be smart, have an amazing, amazing weekend. We'll be back at it, same time, same place, on the Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Be easy, people.